Star after star has appeared, as a minute point, or as a magnificent sight in the heavens, and the professional astronomers have been unobservatory. They have been notified by amateurs. We shall have records of youngsters who have seen what they were not observing. The first of the bright infants, of whom I have record, is Seth Chandler, of Boston. I have it that anybody who is only 19 years old, or, for that matter, 29, is a youngster. Seth was 19 years old. Upon May 12, 1866, an amateur astronomer, named Birmingham, at Tuam, Ireland, notified the professional astronomers, who were looking somewhere else, that there was a new star in the constellation Corona Borealis. In the United States, the professional astronomers were busily engaged looking in other directions. Upon the night of the 14th, Seth Chandler interrupted their observations, telling them that there was something to look at. For any pessimist, who is interested in what becomes of exceptionally bright boys, and the disappointing records of many of them, I note that when this bright youngster grew up, he became a professional astronomer. What on earth, or pretty nearly assuredly unrelated to the skies, were the professionals doing, February, 1901? Night of February 22, ND and Dr. Anderson, the amateur who had discovered Nova Aurigae, 9 years before, looked up at the constellation Perseus, and, even though he had probably been befuzzling himself with astronomical technicalities ever since, saw something new, and knew the new, when he saw it. It was a magnificent new star. It was a splendor that scintillated over stupidity. Not a professional, at any of this Earth's observatories, knew of this spectacle, until informed by Dr. Anderson. Usually it is said that Dr. Anderson discovered this star, but his claim has been contested. In Russia, it was recorded that, 9 hours earlier, at a time when the sleepiest of the observatories had not yet closed down, or had not yet quit not observing, the new star had been discovered by Andreas Borisiek, of Kiev. Andreas was a schoolboy. Before the discovery of this new star in Perseus, or Nova Persei, there had been appearances like volcanic phenomena, unattributable, however, to any volcano of this earth. Upon the morning of February 13, deep greenish-yellow clouds, spreading intensest darkness, appeared in France, Bull. SOC Astro. De France, March, 1901. Upon the 16th, a black substance fell from the sky, in Michigan, Monthly Weather Review, 29-465. There was the extreme coldness that often results from interferences with sunlight, by volcanic dust. At Naples, three persons were found to have frozen to death, night of the 13th, London Daily Mail, February 15. A red substance fell with snow, near Mildenhall, London Daily Mail, February 22. It may have been functionally transmitted organic matter. Pigeons seemed to feed upon it. I have data for thinking that at least 4 nights before Dr. Anderson's observation, this new star, or a beam from it, though unseen at all observatories, was magnificently visible. I think so, because, upon the night of the 18th, somebody in Finchley, London, and somebody in Tooting, London, saw something that they thought was a comet. Upon the night of the 20th, somebody in Tottenham saw it. A story of three somebodies who had seen something that was missed by all this Earth's professional astronomers, would not be worth much, if told after an announcement of a discovery, but these observations were told of in the London Daily Mail, published upon the morning of February 22, before Dr. Anderson was heard from. 16 days after the Anderson observation, dust arrived upon this earth, or it fell from the sky in volumes that were proportional to this outburst of first magnitude in the heavens. The new star at its brightest was of the magnitude of Vega. Dust, of the redness of many volcanic dusts, and of no African deserts that one hears anything of, and if African deserts ever are red, moving picture directors, who are strong for realism, or, rather, sometimes are, should hear about this fell from the sky. It came down, upon the 9th and 10th of March, in Sicily, Tunis, Italy, Germany, and Russia. A thick orange-red stain was reported from Ongar, Essex, England, upon the 12th, London Daily Mail, March 19. The standardized explanation was published. I shall oppose it with heresy. Throughout this book, I say that all expressions of mine are only mental phenomena, and sometimes may be rather awful specimens, even at that. But, if we examine our opposition, and find it wanting, and if my own expression includes much that it left out, my own expression is not wanting, whether it's wanted, or not. Two wise men wrote the standardized explanation. The red dust had come from an African desert. See Nature, 66-41. They wrote that they had traced this dust to a hurricane in an African desert, pointing out that, upon the first day, it had fallen in Tunis. That looked like a first fall near an African desert. But the meteorologists are not banded like the astronomers. For a record of a fall, not so near an alleged African desert, see Simons Met. Mag. 1902-25 that while this dust was falling in Tunis, also it was falling in Russia. That this dust did come to this earth from outer space see the Chemical News, 83-159 Dr. Phipson's opinion that it was meteoric. That may be accepted as the same as volcanic. My own expression. That a hurricane that could have strewn Europe with dust, from the Mediterranean to Denmark, and from England to Russia, could have been no breeze fluttering obscurely in some African desert, but a devastating force that would have fanned all northern Africa into taking notice. Lagos, Gold Coast, Record, March-April, 1901. No mention of a whirlwind of any kind in Africa. In the Egyptian Gazette, Alexandria, there is nothing relating to atmospheric disturbances. There is nothing upon any such subject noted in the Sierra Leone News. Al-Mokareb, Tangier, reports the falls of dust in Europe, but mentions no raising of dust anywhere in Africa. But there was a new star. The standardized explanation is perforated with omissions. It seems unthinkable that mind upon this earth could be so bound down to this earth by this thing of gaps, until we reflect that so are all nets fabricated. In Austria, while this dust was falling, the earth quaked. What could such an occurrence have to do with dust from an African desert? Omitted. But at the time of this quake, something else was seen, and it may have been a volcanic bomb that had been shot from a star. London Daily Mail, March 13. A great meteor was seen. Dust falling in Tunis and that was told. More of the omitted see the Levant Herald, March 11. That while the dust was falling in Tunis, there were violent earthquakes in Algeria. Something else that was left out see the English Mechanic, 73-96, and the Bull. SOC. Astro. De France, April, 1901 that, upon March 12, ashes fell from the sky, at Avellino, Italy. Vesuvius, April, 1872. Krakatoa, August, 1883. Charleston, August, 1886. Time after time after time. And now May, 1902 in the hollow of their ignorance, two of these conventionalists held 30,000 lives? May, 1902 there was another surprise. It, too, was preceded by announcements that were published by mountains, and were advertised in columns of fire upon pages of clouds. In April and May, 1902, across a zone of this earth, also outside the zone, there were disturbances. More than earth-wide relations are indicated, to start with. Eruptions of Mt. Pelee, Martinique, began upon April 20, the date of the Lyrids. However, in this book, I am omitting many data upon a seeming relation between dates of meteor streams and catastrophes. Then the volcano La Soufriere, island of St. Vincent, BWI, broke out. Upon the day of an earthquake in Siberia, April 12, mud fell from the sky, in widely separated places, in Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. See Science, NS, 15-872, New York Herald, April 14, 1902, Monthly Weather Review, May, 1902. There may have been an eruption in some other part of one relatively small existence, or organism. There may have been a new star. In the English Mechanic, 75-291, a correspondent in South Africa told that, in the constellation Gemini, night of April 16, he had seen an appearance like a new red star. He thought that it might have been not a star, but a mirage of the red light of the Cape Town Lighthouse. The White Houses of St. Pierre, Martinique, a white city, spread up on the slopes of Mt. Pelee. Early in May, there were panics in St. Pierre. Pelee was convulsed, and the quavering city of St. Pierre shook out inhabitants. Desertion of the city was objected to by its rulers, and the governor of the island called upon two wise men, Professor Landis and Professor Doze, for an authoritative opinion. They had studied the works of Dr. Davison. There were shocks in Spain, and in France. La Soufriere was of continuing violence. A volcano broke out in Mexico. Quakes in the Fiji Islands. Violent quake in Iceland. Volcanic eruption at Cook's Inlet, Alaska. Professor Landis and Professor Doze were studying Mt. Pelee. An eruption of cattle and houses and human beings in Rangoon, Burma, or the most terrible storm remembered. A remarkable meteor was seen at Calcutta. In Java, the Ruang volcano broke out. There were rumblings of an extinct volcano in France. In Guatemala, with terrific electrical displays, enormous volumes of water fell upon earthquakes. Profs. Doze and Landis announced that there was, in Pelee's activity, nothing to warrant the flight of the people. See Heilprin, Mont Pelee, p. 71. Governor Maudet ordered a cordon of soldiers to form around the city, and to permit nobody to leave. Upon the 7th of May, a sky in France turned black with warning. See back to other such coincidences with catastrophes. Soot and water, like ink, fell from the sky, at Parc Saint-Maur, Comte's Rendez-Vous, 134-1108.